Well, we're on our third workout. I hope y'all are doing okay with your workouts. I hope it's making you stronger. You know, we're talking about the spire. God is our strong tower. A spire is on top of a tower. It is what's right at the very top of it. Like if you looked at our bell tower and you left tonight, it has a cross on the top of it. And so our goal with the spire workout is to let the spiritual control every other part of our life. Because when God breathed into man, God breathed in his very being of who God was. And so the spire workout is to help us get stronger. And so we want to be on top of the tower, right under the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. And so today we're talking about number three. Number three is intellectual. How's that sound? That's a good one. Basically, what we're talking about today is our mind. I want you to take a look at this picture right here, this image. What do you see when you look at this image? Let's see it right there. What do you see? Huh? Well, some people see two people looking at each other, and some people see a vase. I didn't know if it was a vase or a vase, so I asked Rick. I said, Rick, is it a vase or a vase? Rick says, well, if it's over $100, it's a vase. So that's how we do that. So when you're looking at this is what we call an optical illusion. And so when God breathed into man, and he became a being, and God gave him a brain, an intellectual brain to which we think. And what happened then is Satan came along, and Satan didn't throw an optical illusion in front of Adam and Eve, but what Satan did is he threw a mental illusion. If he can get us to think the way the world thinks, and if he can get us to think apart from the way God thinks, then he's got us. He gave us a mental illusion. And so when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, then therefore everyone after Adam and Eve, we all now have the sin nature. In a way, we have a messed up mind. Like I have to tell you that with me. You're all gonna, so tell me something else new. But we have a messed up mind. And so the only way that we can get our mind back the way it needs to is to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we'll get to that in a minute. But in the meantime, what we have to understand is that when sin came into the world, our minds got messed up to where we are tempted to think other ways other than what God says to us. When life is done, when we take our final breath, we must realize that there still is only one reality, that there still is only one answer to some of the major questions of life. And everybody's trying to answer those questions, and we have to decide, who am I going to listen to? Those major questions are not, what am I going to eat after church tonight? The major questions are not, how long is Tom going to preach tonight? Is he going to go long again? Those aren't the major questions of life. The major questions of life that everyone has is there a God? What is the origin and nature of the universe? Does human life have a purpose? What is the basics of ethics and morality? And then what happens to a man after death? The five major questions of life. No other questions, I would say, are more important than that when it comes to how we live our lives and how we are going to live. And how I think with my mind and who I listen to will define how I live. It's just how it is. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So there's a worldview, and how you think and who you listen to is your worldview. So there's a worldview in society today called naturalism. Naturalism includes those people who are atheists, people who are agnostic, people that are existentialists, and this is basically what they believe. They believe that this is all there is. There's nothing afterwards. It just got created. And so they live their life like this is it. Once we die, we die. That's called naturalism. I'm not going to go through all the worldviews, but we got to understand how people think. One of the most prevalent views of worldviews today, especially in America, is called postmodernism. And they believe that the way we live is based on what is socially appropriate in culture. And so how they live is they live just the way culture tells them to live. So the basis of ethic and morality when it comes to postmodernism is this. What's right is just what happens to be right at that time in which we live in culture. And so what Satan's done is Satan has come, and because of sin and the sin nature in our lives, we are tempted by this. But understand, how I think and who I listen to defines how I live. When God created Adam, there was only one worldview. That was God. It was God. That's called monotheism, for all you people that are taking notes. Monotheism, one God. And there was one God, and so when the intellectual was damaged by sin, all these other worldviews came in, and when all these other worldviews came in because of the sin nature, I have to make a decision. When I ask Jesus Christ in my heart, I have to make the decision, and I am now being transformed by Jesus Christ, and I am going to listen to, and I'm going to think on those things of God, and I will strive with all the parts of my being, like you should too. I will move toward it. I will anguish. I will think. I will filter everything that I can filter through this mind of mine through God. Does that make sense to you? That is what we need to do to be the spire, to be on top of that tower under the cross of Jesus Christ. But if we are honest, which I think we need to be honest, many times we fall short and we think like the world. Am I right? We watch TV, we read what we read in the postmodern world, which is what I think is the most of where we are, is telling us how we need to think. And many times as Christians, we are having a hard time because we're listening to things that probably we're not filtering it. And so many times we listen to the world, and remember, as we think, so are we. And so we're listening to things that are not necessarily true. And so what happens is this. We may profess to have Jesus Christ as the Lord, but at the same time, our lifestyles are like the world. And so we have to really struggle with this when it comes to the intellectual. We have to understand that when we ask Jesus Christ in our heart, there's some things that have to happen to us and some things that we have to try to achieve in this workout. And it's very hard with everything going on and with all the things that are being said. And so one of the things that we have to look at is this. What am I going to do so I can have this worldview that is called a Christian worldview? And what we have to do is we have to work and pray and study to have the mind of Christ. We need to say once and for all, I'm going to have the mind of Christ. Well, how do you have the mind of Christ? That's what we're going to talk about. And I want to help you with that tonight. First of all, I think what we have to understand is this. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, for this is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. So the first thing that we must do to have the mind of Christ, to get past this point of listening to everything that goes on is that we have to understand that when we ask Jesus Christ into our heart, we now become a living sacrifice. Do you realize that you're a living sacrifice if you have Jesus in your heart? Give all your ambitions. Give all your words. Give all your actions. Give all your thoughts. Give all your selfishness. Give all your rights. You lay them at the altar of Jesus. When Jesus saved us, we were bought with a price. It was His death. We are not our own anymore. It is not our way anymore. It is God's way. It is Christ's way. How many times do we want our own way? I'm not going to answer that for me. How many times are we selfish? How many times do we get angry when things do not go as planned? That's the world's way, isn't it? That's that mental illusion that Satan puts in all of us. But Christ says, become a living sacrifice. And Christ, through the Holy Spirit, renews your mind. Well, what does He renew your mind to? Listen, let's go back to the garden again. There he is, Adam. Dust formed. Jesus breathes into Adam. He becomes a living being. At that time, his mind was renewed. His mind was perfect. He still had free choice, but his mind was perfect. And so when we ask Jesus Christ in our heart, we have this sin nature. Christ wants to renew our minds, which means this. He wants us to get back to where He wanted us to be in the first place, and that is to acknowledge Him as the God Almighty and to live for Him and to give Him glory. That is what renewing of the mind. And to renew our minds, we must be a living sacrifice. You know, a sacrifice is pretty big. If you sacrifice your life for somebody, well, to be a living sacrifice is even more. That means that everything that goes through my mind now has to be filtered through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You know, personally, I'll just give you an example from my life. I cannot watch, and this is just me personally, I cannot watch news anymore. I just can't. Ask Nikki. I can read it, just so I don't read the comments underneath it. That gets you every time. I can read it, and then I think about it, but I can't watch it anymore because my mind just starts going all these different places. That's just me personally. But everything that we take into our eyes go into our mind. And everything that we listen to with our ears, it goes in our mind. And unless we have a way to filter that, and unless we have a way to change that through the Word of God, then what's going to happen to us is we become what we listen to, and we become what we see, and that's just the way the world is. But renewing of the mind means this, that everything you hear, everything you listen to, everything you think is filtered through the power of the Holy Spirit and God's Word. See, I would say whenever you're thinking about something or you hear something, I would say this. I would make sure that it lines up with God's Word. Because that is the way God wants us to be. See, when God created Adam and Eve, and when God created Adam and He breathed into him, you know, He said, let us make these in our image. You know, God's an intellectual being too. And so He wants us to filter everything with what He thinks. See, many times we've been brought up in a world to where we just listen to what people say and we just say, okay, that's just the way it's going to be. No, I'm saying this, filter everything through the Word of God. That's a living sacrifice. What happens then is after a while, your mind starts to get renewed. Now, your mind will not be completely renewed until the day that we go to heaven. But your mind starts to get renewed. And so the first and foremost, the first thing we need to do is we need to have the mind of Christ by becoming a living sacrifice. The second thing is that we need to commit to have the mind of Christ. And you say, well, how do you have the mind of Christ? Well, the Bible tells us. See, I don't have to think about it. The Bible tells us, and then I incorporate it in my life. You know, in Philippians, if you turn to Philippians 2, and we'll look in verse 5, but it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So when we talk about the mind of Christ, the Bible says we need to have the mind of Jesus Christ. We need to live, walk, speak every way that Jesus Christ did. It says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So to have the mind of Christ, to be a Spire in 2017, there are four things that I think we must do in our lives according to that scripture that we will now achieve and be that spire, that top of that tower, which is God, under the feet of Jesus Christ. I believe if we do these four things, we are well on our way. This is the workout, and it's a hard workout. Number one is this. I believe that if we want to have the mind of Christ, we need to not try to make a name for ourselves. We need to not try to make a name for ourselves. It says this, but made himself of no reputation. See, the Bible talks about reputation. The Bible says that to have a good reputation is a good thing. But here's one of the things you have to understand. It is God who gives you that good reputation. The world teaches us the only way you're going to get a good reputation, the only way you're going to be known is to make yourself known. Well, to have the mind of Christ, we need to not try to make a name for ourselves. Proverbs 27 and verse 2 says this, let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. I think for us to be what God wants us to be in this area of intellectual and to have the mind of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to work really hard to empty ourselves of every rights that we think we have. Because many times, some of the greatest fights are because, well, they just didn't treat me very good. And see, Jesus made himself of no reputation. Jesus didn't go around saying, look at me, look at me, look what I've done. I'm upset because you all hadn't noticed me. I'm this, I'm this. Listen, let God do that. That's God. That's what God does. He is the one that will build the reputation. And when we live for God and we try not to make a name for ourselves, what God does is God will bless you and honor you. God will make some paths straight in your life. Because many times when we want our own way, I really believe that God may step back. And God says, go ahead. So the first thing to do is to not try to make a name for yourself. The second thing according to the scripture is this. It's to be a servant. You know, this workout's kind of easy. You know why it's easy? It's right here in Philippians. It's to be a servant. You know, this way, being a servant, it would save marriages. It would save families. It would save communities. It would save workplace disputes. It would save friendships. It would save many things if we just became a servant. If we said, I'm here to have the mind of Christ to serve people. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Christ. And when we become a servant, we will prosper in a way that God, that we'll never understand, because God will lift us up because we are a servant to people. We need a lot less of me and a lot more of Jesus. And so to become a servant means this. As much as it may hurt sometimes, as much as they might say things to you sometimes, as much as they may do some things to you sometimes, you're just going to serve them. Do you see how marriages would be transformed if that happened? Do y'all see that? If we just served one another? Do you see how communities would change? Do you see how the world would change? But no, we listen in the world a lot today. The world's listening to, no, you just need to get your own way. And so we say what we want to say, and we have marches everywhere, and we do this, and we do this, and we say, this is the way it needs to be. Listen, God's saying this. Jesus became a servant for us in the form of a servant to die on the cross, the Son of God, for your sins. He emptied himself for you. As our minds are being renewed, doesn't it make sense that if Jesus did that for us, we can be servants too? I just think that makes sense. To have the mind of Christ, you need to be a servant. The third thing, to have a mind of Christ, you need to be humble. The only reason we have what we have and can be what we are and live where we live is not because of anything I did. I'm sorry, but that's the world's thinking. It's everything Christ did. It's everything God's done for you. If we think any different, we become our own God. And I just don't think I would make a very good God. Because in my worldview, there's only one God. So I have to stop trying to be my own God and worshiping myself. I got to lay myself on the ground at the feet of Jesus Christ and say, Christ, take my life. It's yours. We need a little bit of humility. Now, the world tells us you need to tell everything you do because everybody needs to know, and they need to know. Listen, that's not what a Christian worldview is. We need to be humble before Jesus Christ. The last thing is to be obedient. You know, it says that over there, right after that, where he says that he humbled himself and he became obedient even to the point of death. This is Jesus Christ. He was so obedient even to the point of death. There's really only one way to live when you're looking at the Christian worldview, in complete obedience to Christ and his word. So like I said, it's very simple to know this workout. But sometimes it's very hard to empty ourselves to do this workout. See, be obedient to Christ through His Word. Don't add to His Word to get what you want. Don't take away from His Word to get what you want. You live by God's Word and be completely obedient, because even Jesus Christ was obedient. When it's all said and done, when it's all over, when nothing is left, it's God, not Tom. I'll be gone. I mean, I'll be in eternity. But when all is said and done, it's God. When it began, it's God. When it ends, it's God. It's God. And I'm going to choose to live my life and answer those five questions with that view. Because I believe that God is the Almighty God. Now, I'll leave you with one more scripture. It's on your little handout. Philippians 4:8. So when you're thinking through things and when you're going through life and you want a scripture to help you when it comes to how to think and have the mind of Christ, Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." I got a workout. An 8-day workout. Oh my, what's Tom doing now? I want us to memorize that scripture. You can memorize that in 8 days. There's 8 parts to that. Now, when you have first graders, I know it's really good. We give them when they memorize the scripture, we give them the thing from Israel, which is fantastic. You had your Bible, you know, when you were in first grade. I don't have any prizes. Well, there is a prize, a renewed mind. So tonight, before you go to bed, finally, brothers, whatever things are true. That's today. Then you have 7 more days. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true. You can memorize this in 8 days. Put it in your mind. And when you see me next week or see the pastor next Wednesday, we would love to hear you quote that verse. Because the prize is great. Because it starts to renew your mind. You see, you realize that the way to renew your mind is to hide His Word in your heart, that I may not sin against thee. Let Christ renew your thinking. Let Christ renew your intellect. Let Him remove the thoughts in your mind that are leading you towards sin. The Spirit can heal those thoughts tonight. The Spirit can lead you down a pathway to renew your mind. Tonight, I ask that you commit to have the mind of Christ by hiding His Word in your heart. Let's bow for prayer. Now, while we're here tonight, we've talked about having the mind of Christ, and I just ask that if you're a Christian tonight, that you just commit tonight to this workout, that you will do what you need to do to have that mind of Christ. To try not to make a name for yourself, to be humble, to be a servant, to be obedient. To hide God's word in your heart. What a better place to start than Philippians 4:8. If you're here tonight and you've already asked Jesus Christ in your heart, I just ask that you just take the next step in renewing your mind. If you're here tonight and you never asked Jesus Christ in your heart, or you're not sure, I just want to share with you tonight that if you ask Jesus Christ in your heart, He comes in, He forgives your sins, and you are on the process, He renews your mind. And you can live for Him. Not just the days of this on these earth, but even after, for all eternity. Maybe you're here tonight, and when I was preaching, you just felt in your heart the Holy Spirit nudge you and just say, you know, I need Jesus, I need God. If that's you, just say this in your heart. Dear Jesus, I need you in my heart. I need you to forgive my sins and make me a Christian. Thank you for saving me. Maybe you're here tonight and your thoughts are everywhere. And you know you have thoughts that you shouldn't have. You've been listening to the wrong things, watching the wrong things, and it's just really just got you in your mind. You just say this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, renew my mind. Help me to have the mind of Christ. Take my thoughts. Make them your thoughts.